Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with Lewis O'Berry. He is an energy management advisor with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And our title of the podcast today is going to be Thermostat Wars.
Dun, dun, dun.
But this is probably a question you get asked a lot, or people want to ask you, but they're afraid of what your answer might be
right,
because you might not agree with them or their spouse, and it's not really going to resolve the situation any.
I see it a lot at the kitchen table when I go visit with members. That's when usually this will come.
Can you please tell my husband,
surface,
or can you please tell my wife, is probably how it starts out.
I don't like those conversations. I give them just enough fuel and watch them fight to the death.
And then you just sit back and think,
right, just let them work it out. No, really, there are, from an energy standpoint, moving the thermostat up and down or constantly having issues with creature comfort and individual preferences is definitely going to impact energy use. And with HVAC residentially being, for the most part, at the top of the order,
right,
it's a big deal. So, you know, we harp about thermostat. Stat settings, we harp about setbacks, and when you add the element of I want this but he wants that and she wants this and they want that,
and there are so many other factors. So you can start off in a relationship. I mean, I used to be the one in our house that the heat didn't bother me. It wasn't that big of a deal. It would have to be in the upper 90s before I would cave and say, okay, it's time to turn on the air condition to begin with. I'm not that person anymore. And now the slightest little bit of humidity in the air, I am shutting the windows. I'm turning the air on. I hate having it on. But then I'm also, okay, but we're not going to turn it up. They say 78. 78 is what they say, honey. So we're keeping it at 78, and he's like, no, we're keeping it at 68. That's where the problems start.
Well, one thing you just have to always bear in mind, you know, yes, there are thermostat settings that we recommend that are within the realm of what Department of Energy, they kind of mirror those recommendations. So there's something you can hang your hat on behind those. Behind those, it's not just REC blindly recommending.
Science
that.
Is on my
Science
side.
Science is on your side there. But we definitely say 78 or warmer in the summer months when your house is occupied, and higher than that if you were to leave for long periods of time. And we say 68 or lower if possible in the winter months for heating for optimal energy savings. Now, you know, every degree or two you go over that or under that, depending the season, is going to have an inherited cost. And like I said, there's too many variables to even begin to give you a square percentage. But realistically, you know, anywhere between 1% and 3% increase or decrease, however you move up and down the scale, so per degree or so, it can be pretty dramatic. And when you bring the element of creature comfort and different preferences in the mix, like we were talking about, it gets a little complicated. I guess one way to mitigate that, or to try to keep the peace, if you will, or status quo in the household, is to find a happy medium and find that happy medium, hopefully within that range that we recommend, or as close to that range mm-hmm. as we can recommend. I mean, I know we might have another podcast soon, and we might uncover the deep, dark secrets of Lewis O'Berry, energy advisor of his own house. And that's going to be interesting, because that's going to be when I get home, that's going to be, I told you that stuff was going to bite you one day. But going up and down with a thermostat in the cooling mode, it's never going to cost you as much energy to cool your home as it is to heat it. We live in a heat-dominant climate.
Right.
Main reason is we have a bigger temperature difference between outside and inside in the winter months, and we're trying to constantly counteract that. Mother Nature would like to have her way, and it would be the same temperature and humidity inside the house. So if you can keep a relative 75 and 78 degrees, and then maybe knock it back a little bit when you sleep at night if you like it a little cooler. You know, just try to arrange a reasonable set point between everybody in the house mm-hmm. and the people that have a vote anyway. You know, sometimes people don't have a vote.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the kids or the teenagers. Just,
and that's not my place to say who does and who doesn't.
If they're not paying the bill, they're not getting a say in the thermostat.
So whoever is the captain of the household and the thermostat can sit down and have a friendly conversation with their significant other. And thermostat wars going up and down, and thermostat and cooling isn't going to cost you near as much energy typically. Let's kind of focus this around a heat pump, a standard heat pump system, because that's what a lot of people mm-hmm. have. I mean, yes, there are fossil fuel systems out there and different things like that. I know you've got a fossil fuel mm-hmm. system, but changing the heat pump temperature up and down multiple degrees during the heating season is going to generally create some havoc on energy use because, one, the recovery is going to cost you more. Two, the electric strips are kicking in, so your auxiliary heat is kicking in, so that's where a bulk of that energy is being used there for the electric resistive heat. So if you make drastic changes with the thermostat and heating, it's going to be much more detrimental to you from a billing standpoint or in dollars and cents at the end of the month versus cooling. But still, generally, if you can walk it 3 to 6 degrees at a time between your setbacks and your occupied settings, that's going to be the way to go. Now, obviously, it's going to cost more to do that in between those time periods if you've got one person in the house that wants 68, you've got somebody else in the house that wants 75. Maybe mechanical zoning or a wall between you and them may be a little bit easier. But you know, all joking aside, going up and down with thermostat on a constant basis is going to put additional wear and tear on the system. It's going to cost you more energy.
So let me tell you some of my secrets.
Oh, boy.
You and I have had the conversation before. Winter doesn't bother me.
Right.
I keep our thermostat set at 62 degrees in the house during the winter, and I'll just throw on a sweater, sweatshirt. I've got a blanket that I keep on the sofa, and that doesn't seem to bother my husband much at all. If I do get cold, I'll knock it up a degree or two, but that's probably at most. The summer's where we're having the issues now because I don't want it to be hot in the house anymore. But what I have found is that you don't notice a degree. You think you do. It's a number. And it's in your head. So originally, I had it set at 74. I'm hearing, okay, it's 78. We're getting a lot of beat the peak. Try and cut back your usage between 3 and 6. So I get home in the afternoons at 2:30 or 3, and I would go from 74 to 75. And then I would see it would get there, and it would stop running. And so then I'd take it up to 76. You don't notice it if you're jacking it a degree or two at a time in the span of the couple of hours that you're home and you're at it.
Wait, well, human beings, typically, if you walk into a room with a 1 degree temperature difference, you're not
you don't notice.
I mean, just not even to get too technical on you, but there's standards on that when it comes to designing an HVAC system. And ASHRAE says that there can be only a certain amount of temperature change between room to room by a certain standard. So I'm not going to jump into weeds there, but there are standards for that. But because typically anything 2 degrees or warmer, we feel.
Mm-hmm.
On you know, you can feel it on your skin. You can say, oh, this room is warmer. This room is colder. So anything over 2 degrees is typically something that the human body will react to. So, you know, walking it up slowly is an option.
And he doesn't notice because he doesn't pay any attention when he walks by the thermostat.
Good for you, Jim.
I've managed to.
You've got him buffalo.
Thankfully, he also doesn't listen to podcasts. So he is not. My secret is still going to be
safe. He might start after this.
As long as the two of you never have another conversation together.
Right. So I hope I don't bump into him eating lunch somewhere.
I know. Wouldn't that be a problem?
When I'm up here visiting the members. That could be bad, right?
So then let me ask you this. So the other compromise that we make is he likes to have a fan on when he's sleeping at night. Okay, we're going to put the thermostat at that 78 or even maybe take it to 80 because you have the fan blowing on you. Is the energy from that fan offsetting anything I'm saving on the thermostat?
The fan is not doing anything to cool the room. You know,
right.
Remember you had a prior podcast with Casey. We've talked about fans, how they cool people, not rooms. So actually, you know, the heat from the motor that the fan is generating is adding heat to the room if we really want to get technical, and you're having to overcome those BTUs from the wattage and the work that the motor's doing.
Why you got to be like that?
I know it. I had to do that. I can't help it. It's the geek in me, I guess. I don't know.
That's it.
Whatever. So anyway, fans cool people. So if you're keeping the house warmer, let's say 75, 76, and you've made an adjustment from that to appease the other person or you're trying to save energy, you know, using a fan and allowing that evaporative effect to cause your skin to feel comfortable is a good thing.
I mean, it's a good compromise.
We do the same thing in my house. You can do that with a ceiling fan. You can do that with a, you know, box fan or a pedestal fan. They make fans that are variable speed now.
That was always one of my arguments, Tim, is we can't run the fan at night if we're undoing any energy savings we may have. It's probably not to that degree.
No, I mean, the wattage that the fan's using is much less than the wattage of your central air conditioning system. That's quite obvious. So.
But I shouldn't stand in front of my refrigerator with the door open to try and cool off. That's probably a problem.
Don't let all the penguins out, Janet. Really and truly, 78 or warmer in the summer with setbacks. Setbacks have been proven to save energy. I save a significant amount of energy, realistically, with just one setback a day. And that's about I'm doing a 8-degree setback.
We've talked in previous podcasts and on the radio show about these programmable thermostats. I know you are a huge fan of them. I know that they could really have an impact on your energy savings, because that's the key. If I leave the house in the morning at 8:30 and I know nobody's going to be in my house until 5:30, quarter of 6 in the evening, it does make sense to put it up to 78 or 80 degrees, because why am I cooling a house I'm not in? And I can program it to, at 4 o'clock, start stepping it down rather than walk in the door and go from 80 degrees to 70 degrees and it's running for the next four and a half hours.
So if you're going to maintain your house in the summer at 70 degrees all day long for 10 hours while nobody's there, you're going to spend less energy to recover that 4 or 5 degrees, 6 degrees that you have to bounce back from at the end of that period when you come through the front door, versus what you would have spent at the peak of the afternoon and the peak of the heat of the day trying to maintain the house at your 70 degree comfort setting that you like when you're at home. So there's a big swing in cost there, and there's some significant savings to be had winter and summer doing so.
For those that just can't find a resolution, they can't come to an agreement on what it is, do you recommend getting a window air conditioner in one room and sending one person to that room to live out their summer?
if that's what it comes down to, you can use a small window air conditioner. Let's say your conventional system is bit the dust and it's got a mechanical problem. You know, using window units isn't necessarily always a bad thing, because they give you kind of a way to zone the house, if you will, kind of like baseboard heating. But if you use them properly and you put them in the window properly and you kind of try to tighten it up as much as you can after you get them in there, it is one way. So that if you have a family member that just can't tolerate it, then just cool one room to that degree and don't cool the balance of the house down, because you're going to spend less energy to do it with a small window unit. But don't leave the door open to the bedroom that is serving. try to contain as much of that conditioning within that one space and isolate that activity in that one area versus doing it in the whole floor plan.
I just make my husband go outside for 20 minutes, get really hot and sweaty, and then walk back in, and it feels like it's cool in the house.
Absolutely.
And he's quiet for another hour or two.
If you think 78 is cold or 78 is hot, just walk outside, out in the yard for a little while, walk around, come back inside, and you'll realize
go downstairs to the basement.
Nice it really is.
It's perfect. That's on hot summer weekends when he says, "What do you want to do? I don't want to work outside." Oh, good. We're going to clean out the basement because it's cooler down there.
But an inexpensive way to do that is to use a fan. Use a fan. Allow it to blow on you. Take advantage of that evaporative effect across your skin, and the fan will cool you down.
You're going to have to find a happy medium. You don't have the answer, is what I'm
saying. There is no true answer to thermostat wars. That lies within the two parties
within the homeowners themselves and whatever divorce court they may end up in.
I'll handle my own thermostat wars at home, and I'll let them handle theirs. How about that?
Well, thank you for at least giving me a little bit of guidance.
Yes, ma'am.